From the best-selling Heroes of History series, Emerald Books presents Benjamin Franklin, Live Wire, by Janet and Jeff Benj. Read for you by Tim Gregory. For information about other titles from this outstanding series that brings history to life, please visit emeraldbooks.com or call 800-922-2143. Chapter 1. Thunder and Lightning.
Oh, wonderful,
Ben Franklin mumbled to himself as he looked out his front window at the dark, bruised storm clouds rolling into Philadelphia. Then he grabbed the kite lying in the corner. Just then, Ben's 22-year-old son, William, stepped into the room.
Looks like now's the time, don't you think so, Father?
Ben nodded, and the two men headed for the door. Other people on Market Street were running for cover as the rain started to pelt them, but Ben and William made their way resolutely toward an open field on the outskirts of town. This was their kind of kite-flying weather. Once they reached their destination, Ben took shelter in a small shepherd's hut, while William launched the kite, running back and forth across the field until the kite took flight and climbed into the angry sky. Unlike a paper-covered kite, this kite was made from a large silk handkerchief stretched over a frame and would not disintegrate in the rain. A foot-long metal spike was lashed to the top of the kite, which was tethered to a long hemp cord. At the bottom of the hemp cord were a silk handkerchief for the kite flyer to hold and a brass key attached by a ribbon. When all the cord was played out, William ran to his father, and as he handed him the cord, he yelled, "Good luck!" over the deafening peals of thunder. Ben stepped from the hut into the rain. He took the hemp cord from William and studied the sky. Finally, he saw what he was looking for, a particularly low thundercloud rolling in toward them. He began guiding the kite toward the cloud, avoiding the forks of lightning that lit the sky. When the cloud had completely engulfed the kite in its grayness, Ben reached up and touched the brass key. He felt nothing. Disappointment swept over him. How could this be? This was not what he had expected. He was certain he was right about lightning being a form of electricity, and this experiment was supposed to prove it. But it hadn't. Could he be wrong? Or was there some flaw in the experiment? Then Ben noticed that the loose threads on the now-soaked hemp cord were standing on end. It could mean only one thing. They were electrically charged. As Ben carefully reached out to touch the key a second time, sparks arched between his knuckles and the brass key, and a jolt of electricity pulsed through him. It was an electric shock. Ben laughed with sheer delight. He had done it. He had proved that lightning and electricity were one and the same. Ben touched the key a second time to double-check himself. Another jolt of electricity pulsed through his body. There could be no doubting the result of his experiment. Ben quickly began to reel in the kite. His experiment was over. He had discovered the answer to a question that had vexed humans for thousands of years. What was the true nature of lightning? As he made his way home, Ben felt the full impact of what he had just done. 50 years earlier, Sir Isaac Newton had hypothesized that lightning was electrical in nature. Now Ben had confirmed that with a scientific experiment. It was an extraordinary accomplishment for any scientist, but Ben knew it was even more amazing for him, since he was not a trained scientist. He had come from a family of soap and candle makers in Boston, and although he had gone to school for only 2 years, he had continued educating himself through reading and experimenting, and had now made an important discovery through one of those experiments. As Ben walked home with William through the muddy streets of Philadelphia, his mind slipped back to his boyhood in Boston, where his love of science and learning had first surfaced.